Workshop servers. First, we will have Mark S., and then we will be followed by Diane S. on the future of NA.
Please be respectful and turn your phone to off or silence them.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark, and I'm not a... My wife and I decided that I would get to go first and then she would come up and correct me. It's usually the way it works, so. This is an interesting topic, you know. How do you talk about the future of NA when we're just for today program? You know, it's like, we're supposed to live in today and try not to, you know, worry about the future and all that. But I guess I can share, you know, certain trends I've noticed, things that I've seen in my 33 years of recovery. One of the things that hasn't changed in 33 years of NA is that it works. The steps, the traditions, keep our program alive and growing. I've seen, you know, the fellowship, I've seen everybody's personal growth over the years just change. You know, what works keeps working, you know. You know, we didn't have a step guide when I got clean. But we worked the steps and we stayed clean. And then we got the step guide and more of us got better, right? So, you know, there are some people who are old school who say, no, you gotta do it the old way. But the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter how we work the steps, because it is about a personal program. It works. It's always worked. It worked before I got clean. It's gonna work after, you know, I'm dead. You know, it's gonna continue working. Our literature says it, you know, that the spiritual principles in our program, you know, are what save us. I was reading through Recovery and Relapse the other day, because somebody asked about if it says that relapse is part of recovery, and it doesn't. You know, there's something close in the chapter Recovery and Relapse that says relapse sometimes occur, and if we don't die from that relapse, we can come back, and it can be the jarring experience that makes us, you know, dedicate ourselves to the program. But it doesn't say that relapse is part of recovery. Now, it is part of a lot of people's stories, and it does, like it says in our text, you know, jar some people into dedicating themselves to more meetings and more recovery work. But in the end, you know, It talks about all the character defects that lead to relapse, but it also mentions that our addiction, our disease keeps growing even when we're clean. So I still have the disease of addiction and it still grows. I have dreams of using drugs that weren't invented when I got clean, you know. I go to meetings and I hear stuff and I'm going, man, I never got to try that, you know? But I don't want to ever have to have, you know, I don't want to go back there. But my disease keeps growing. If I relapse today, it would be terrible because my disease has kept growing all this time. That's why I need the spiritual principles of this program. So, as far as recovery goes and working this program, It's still going to be the same, right? The other thing I saw, especially in my area in Canada, was when I first got clean, a lot of the spiritual talk was Judeo-Christian based. Mostly because that's what most of the people have been exposed to. But as Canada got more multicultural and we got to see more religions come into our program and we got to see different cultures and we got to see different practices and people started doing different things, the spiritual seemed to have grown. Practices expanded. Some of us tried different forms of meditation that weren't part of our religion, and that, you know, grew us even more. But the fact still remains that the spiritual principles in our steps are still the things that worked, and they continue to work, and I predict for the future that they will always continue to work. The pandemic has changed some things for some people. One of the things that happened is our numbers went down, but they also went up in other ways. I've been meeting more and more people that have a year or more that have never been to an in-person meeting. Now, as sad as it is that these people didn't get the loving hugs and all that stuff that we got when we first came in and got the welcome, these people got virtual welcomes and a support network that's been amazing. And they were able to stay clean and continue to stay clean. You know, is it the best thing? I don't know, but it's working. Who am I to question what's working for somebody else? We've all been able to see each other work a program differently, and it works for each of us, so why wouldn't it work for somebody who's doing it through virtual meetings? The other thing that virtual meetings seems to have done is it created a situation where we can connect with people around the world. And, you know, we hear things in a different way, different expressions that we probably wouldn't hear by going just to our local meetings. And it's one of the things that, you know, opens our minds a bit, you know, kind of changes the way we, you know, I don't know about you, but if I go to the same meeting all the time and I'm hearing the same thing from the same girl or the same guy every time, I stop listening. And then I go to a meeting out of town and I hear it being said in a different way. All of a sudden I go, oh, that's what they're talking about, you know? And it just sinks in. And I find that in virtual meetings, that because I'm meeting people from around the world and they have different expressions and different cultures and they say things differently. Like, I'm always amazed. I'm seeing some people in India. It's funny, they don't say they've been clean so many years. They say, I completed. You know, they say, I completed 1 year clean. I completed, you know, 5 years clean. I completed 6 months. And I was like, oh, that's a strange expression, but that's what they do there, you know. I'm bilingual, I'm French and English, and I read the French basic text in my first year recovery. And I was amazed when I read that open-mindedness. I always thought open-mindedness meant, I'll consider what you're saying. You know, I'll listen to what you say, I'll evaluate it in my head, you know, see if it fits me, and take what works and leave the rest. And then I read the French basic text, and it says, in French, open-mindedness is ouverture d'esprit, which the literal words is open spirit. And when I think about that, you know, when I think about having an open spirit, you know, I think that, oh, that means I need to make myself vulnerable, open myself up, and, you know, let the spirit decide, let my higher power decide what stays and goes. Not the great and powerful mind of Mark, you know, but get to that place. So, you know, hearing those perspectives and all that stuff, I can see our fellowship growing even more by allowing these international influences to come into our recovery and our program. I also see changes in our service, mostly becoming less central and more global. Some of the practices that have started for about 5 to 10 years in Europe is you have areas sponsoring new areas. You have groups sponsoring new groups. The same way we would sponsor a newcomer or a new addict, these areas are sponsoring new areas to help them get established, and they find that their fellowship is growing that way. And they're not making the mistakes that new groups make sometimes because they have the help and sponsorship of another group or another area or another region. So I can see those types of practices starting to happen, you know, in our service structure, in our fellowship, where we're moving more towards collaboration instead of this independence, you know, because our third tradition does talk about, you know, each group and all that stuff. And it does talk about, you know, that independence of the group and that we are autonomous and all that stuff. But that doesn't mean that we're isolated. That doesn't mean we can't seek help. That doesn't mean, you know, just like in my personal program, it's my personal program. But that doesn't mean I do it independently. That doesn't mean I don't do it without help and seeking advice and getting resources and working and changing. So I think that, you know, as far as the future of NA goes and service, I really believe that more collaboration will start to happen. Less and less of this independence and it's mine. We're going to see more fun flows, less groups holding on to funds, you know, and saying, well, no, it's our money we want. You know, we don't want to give it, you know. We're going to see a lot more of the fun flow happening. We're going to see a lot more collaboration and work together with others. So that's based on the trends I'm seeing in other places. I also see... Here's my last comment. Now, Susan said something about the telephones, right? That we turned them off, right? Now, I've heard in groups some people say, you know, put your phone away, don't be looking at your phone while the meeting is going on and stuff like that. Anybody here who's had teenagers or has teenagers knows that teenagers don't put their phones down. They just don't, you know. I'm glad my daughters don't because they're in Canada and I get to communicate with them quite often because their phone's always in their hand. And when they were younger, we used to track them with their phones, which was great. we knew where they were all the time. The reason I mention that is, you know, we can try and shame the newcomers and the young people coming into our program by telling them that their behavior is not proper and incorrect. But none of us changed our behavior through shaming. Not once did anybody convince me not to have a temper tantrum by shaming me for having a temper tantrum. It was my friends who came to me with compassion and love and said, I haven't seen you do that in a while. What's going on? Are you okay? And they helped me. So I was sharing this with a member from the World Board, and he said, you know, he said, we're going to tell them not to use their phone and put their phones away and all that stuff, but eventually we're all going to die. and they're going to be in the meetings with their phones anyway, so that's going to happen. You know, that's my prediction, is in the future, most of our people will be reading their literature from their phones. They won't be coming in with a stack of books and journals. They'll have everything on their phone. I have everything on my phone. I have all my literature on my phone, my journals there. Everything's on my phone. So, you know, we wouldn't tell somebody who's at a meeting doing step work, reading the literature, to put it away. So we might want to reconsider telling a newcomer to put their phone away. Sometimes, you know, it's just, they've always had it there. It's just an accessory. That doesn't mean they're not listening, right? So I'm just throwing that out there. It's probably one of the predictions that my wife will correct, but anyways, that's all I have to share. Thanks for listening.
And now Diane.
Thanks, Susan.
What was it mean?
That was great, wasn't it? The little things that we find amusing, right? My name is Diane, and I'm an addict. And this is my home. So it's I live in Bentonville, Arkansas now. I have for about 3 years, but I'm here to tell you this is home, and it feels good to be home. And I said to somebody earlier, I knew when I moved to Bentonville, I was not going to stay there. Like, I knew that in my heart I was going to come back to Fort Smith because this is my home, right? So my heart is not there. My heart is here. My support is here. You know, the people that have known me the longest and watched me walk through all my craziness and my sanity, ups and downs, divorces, deaths, all of that, like, you're here. So it feels good to be here. So my clean date is April the 2nd of 1993. And so I'm going to explain why I say that. And yes, I'm just shy of 29 years. And I know that there are people in this room that I've been clean longer than you are old. Please do not remind me of that. Don't. You don't have to remind me of that. I know I'm old. So, I got clean when I was 29, so you can put the numbers together and know that I'm old. But you know, when I got clean in 1993, we had a basic text. That was all we had, right? And it was, man, we clung to that book. And we read it, and we didn't have a Just for Today. We didn't have the step working guide. We had some old worksheets that we passed around that people now call, what do they call them, the old school worksheets or something like that. And they still float around. Like, and I still can remember some of the questions. Step one, question number 13. Yep. Read the first 10 chapters of the book. Write down all definitions of addiction stated and implied. When you get done with that, my sponsor informs me that the goal was not to write down all those definitions. It was to read the first 10 chapters of the basic text. And I got to tell you, I never read the stories. I've read a couple of the stories only because they were speakers at this convention. So I wanted to kind of know their backstory. My first sponsor said everything you need to know about life and how to learn life clean is in the first 10 chapters. The rest is just about identification. You can get that in meetings. And so that's what I did. So we had a basic text. And we read it. And it was what we used for meeting topics. And that was our book. And then a year or so later comes the Just for Today. And all of a sudden, the gesture for today was the shortcut to the meeting topics, right? Like, when I got clean, you showed up 45 minutes to an hour early before the meeting if you're the chairperson. I think you were supposed to show up 45 minutes to an hour early. You set up the chairs, you start the coffee, you go through the basic text, you pick a topic, and you prepare for the meeting. Today we have a just for today that we just default to. Oh, it's a just for today meeting. You know, I mean, like, so I get it. You know, it's just easy. It's just easy. And I'm not opposed to that. But when you've been around as long as I have, sometimes I've heard, like, I've been reading the just for today for 28 years. I've heard those topics in meetings for 28 years. 365 days a year. So that's my old person speech. And then we got the It Works How and Why. And we were excited about that book. Like, it was an in-depth study of the 12 steps and 12 traditions, and all of a sudden we had some clear insight into what the 12 steps and 12 traditions really were about. We got into the meat of things. And watching the literature process in this fellowship is really incredible because we write our own literature. Now, it might take us 4 to 6 years to get it done, but we get it done. Like, we don't hire people to write our literature. We write it. And everybody gets to participate. Unless you don't want to. That's okay, too. Like, I didn't participate in this, the Spiritual Principle of Day book. I didn't participate in helping write the Guiding Principles book. But I know people that did participate in it. And I love that we write our own literature because we all have a voice here. So then we got the It Works How and Why, and next thing we know, we've got the Step Working Guide. And we were proud of that Step Working Guide. We were so proud of that Step Working Guide. So, and everybody has a step working guide, and everybody works the steps from the step working guide. And that was great. And then NA progressed a little more, and we got the sponsorship book. Has anybody read the sponsorship book? We got one person. I'm not a fan of it. I've read the first 2 or 3 pages, put it down, had it on a shelf for a while, gave it away. The Miracle Happens. Who's read Miracle Happens book? That is the story of Narcotics Anonymous. Okay, you got the CD, so you heard it. So, man, that talks about the ups and downs of how our fellowship evolved. It talks about the Rockefeller Law and how early on it was against the law for addicts to gather and have meetings. Felons couldn't hang out together. Well, and they still can't unless you're in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? So, things change. And then we got the Living Clean book, which is probably now my favorite book because I'm old and it talks to me, right? Like, I don't have a drug problem anymore. I do have a living problem. Okay? I have a living problem. I can still pull some shady ass shit. I can still throw a tantrum. I can still be hateful. I can still blow money on shit I don't need because I want it when I want it, and I'm gonna get it, right? Like, so that book still talks to me because the Living Clean book is about living clean. It's not about drugs anymore. It's about our attitude. It's about our recovery. It's about the choices we make clean. So we got a new book. And then here comes the Guiding Principles book. And there's another book I love. That is an amazing piece of work. And I have always wanted to study traditions, and you can do that with the It Works How and Why. But the Guiding Principles book, man, blew me out of the water. I was so impressed with our fellowship's work on that book. And if you don't have the Guiding Principles book, which is a workbook for the group and the individual on the traditions, it's amazing. There's stuff in there that I would have never thought about in terms of traditions. It's a great book. And we have concepts. The concepts have been around since like 1994, I think, 90, somewhere, right around there. I didn't know that until maybe yesterday. I thought they were still like 20 years old or so. And people don't know what the concepts are. And if you get involved in service, let me rephrase that. When you get involved in service, you will need that Guiding Principles book because it will guide you. You will also need the little study guide for the 12 concepts. So the point to all the literature and how we progressed is that this program, this fellowship, is always changing and growing. Right? People always go, why do we need new literature? Well, let's see. We just came out with some literature called, was it Mental Illness and Recovery? Yeah, it's a new IP because guess what is trending in the fellowship? And I believe that if we didn't create mental health issues or if we didn't have them before we got clean, some of us used some really rough drugs and created them, right? Like we've really hijacked our brains, done some damage. So there's a lot of mental health issues in our program. We do not have an opinion on psych meds. And I will say, if you take them as prescribed, you are clean. You're clean when you say you are. We are not psychiatrists. We cannot tell you if you're clean or not when you take psych meds. But I'm going to tell you, if you are suicidal, please take your psych meds, because I'd like to see you again tomorrow. All right? So, I'm not a doctor. Please follow your doctor's orders. We had social media since I've been clean. Man, that's been that was a train wreck in the beginning because, you know, we're all putting our stuff out there and nobody knows how to deal with social media and be in recovery, and it was just crazy. And then all of a sudden, the fellowship figured out that we can use social media to our advantage. And we start doing PR work via social media. And the fellowship starts putting ad campaigns out to catch the younger addicts who are on social media. I mean, I get some of us are old and we don't care for social media. I'm telling you, us old people aren't going to be here forever. And the young people have their phones, they have social media. And we need them here to pick up when the older of us, us dinosaur people, when we pass on. Who's not a dinosaur? Pete?
Yes.
You've been around longer than I am. You're a dinosaur. Who else is my dinosaurs in here? If you got 20 years or more, raise your hand. Look at this. Look at this. I'm going to tell you, we, in 20 years or longer, we have seen some changes, right? When I got clean, straightforward with my home group, it was the only meeting in Fort Smith, Arkansas. My sponsor asked me to go to a group service meeting. Please do not call them business meetings. We don't do business, we do service. This is a service-based fellowship. We do service, not business. That's my little stomp my foot in the ground. It is nice. Like, we got away from calling them service committees. Now we got to go to a group business meeting. Well, that sounds real appealing. Or would you rather go to a group service meeting? Oh, that sounds kind of cool. Let me go check that out. Do I want to go to an area business meeting or do I want to go to an area service meeting? Right? Like, which one sounds appealing to me? And if I say, hey, to the newcomer, hey, you should go to this business meeting with me, and they're going to go, I'm just trying to stay clean, dude. Just one day at a time. I don't need no business. But I'm going to tell you, the first group service meeting I went to, I didn't go back because people were throwing chairs at each other and cussing each other. And one of those was my sponsor. And up until recently, I have not seen that occur in probably about 28 years, right? Like, we have grown and matured. That's a trend in Narcotics Anonymous. We stay clean longer, we mature, and we get involved and we get back. We give back to this fellowship. And if you've got 90 days clean and you ain't doing service, you better come talk to me, because that ain't right. Here's the deal, those old timers. I'm still involved in service. I am your Arkansas Regional Delegate. Okay? And I'm on my last term, and when I cycle out, I have some health conditions that are extremely painful sometimes. I'm probably cycling out. I'm probably going to go on and probably not do any more service except at home, just because I really can't tolerate a lot of driving. Who's going to take my place? Because I can tell you, at the Arkansas region, it's the same people. I didn't do that. If you go to a region service committee meeting, or you go to an area service committee meeting, or even a group service meeting, it's the same people over and over and over, right? And some of us are old and tired. And did you know the average age of the Narcotics Anonymous member is roughly my age? I'm 58. I'm not ashamed to say that. 58 years old. This is an aging fellowship. Do we have anybody in this room under the age of 25? Shut up, son. We got two in the back of the room. I need you gentlemen to step up and get involved in service. We need you. Because here's the deal. Some of us old timers, we're kind of stuck in our ways. And some of us think that's the way we've always done it, so that's the way we're always going to do it. And I've been guilty of that. But technology is an amazing thing. And some of us have fought that process. Through the whole pandemic, what's my time look like? We're good? Okay. So through the pandemic, I watched the fellowship change and navigate a pandemic that threw the world into a head spin, right? Like, we weren't sure how to navigate this sudden halt of services and things happening. And I watched Narcotics Anonymous take technology and use it to our advantage. And people were doing PR work via Zoom meetings. I'm going to tell you something incredible. New York, I think Wilvina's outside. New York did something very amazing. Their fellowship bought tablets for the prison inmates because they could no longer carry H&I in, right? They worked with the World Service Office. They loaded all these tablets with all of our literature, and they started step riding behind the walls, which had been around a long time, but they really got their teeth into it. They did a lot of PR work. They supplied these prisons with tablets loaded with all of our literature, and these inmates all of a sudden had access to Narcotics Anonymous, and we didn't go in. Right? Like, how amazing is that? We didn't have to do H&I. We didn't have to wonder how we were going to cover the H&I meeting. You know, sometimes there's a lot of apathy in service, and we can't cover the services that we want to do. We can't cover the PR commitments. We can't cover the H&I commitments. So why can't we use technology to our advantage? So I watched New York do that. I'm going to tell you something else. Narcotics Anonymous outside of the U.S. is doing amazing things. Things that blow my mind. I was in Atlanta last month for a Southern Zonal Forum, and I heard of a region using LinkedIn and Meetup to provide PR to professionals. That kind of blew my mind. That was amazing. There's a region in South Africa that contacts community centers and churches and keeps a running resource for a running resource list of places that will let addicts have meetings. So if a new meeting pops up, they have a list. You don't have to call every church in the state to try and find a place to have a meeting. They have a resource list already in place. You want to start a meeting? Here's where you can have one. I was like, wow, that's profound. Right? That's, why didn't we think of that? Like, we're U.S. This is where Narcotics Anonymous started. Why didn't we think of that? So technology is really amazing for Narcotics Anonymous, and that really, I really do see that as trending, especially where we can reach addicts. I did a little bit of research in the state of Arkansas and found out that Arkansas has 75 county prisons. So my question is, how many of those counties have H&I going into those prisons? Four, you think? Four? Maybe? Yeah, so we're missing a bunch of people, but here's my thought. What if we could provide tablets with the literature, or even provide softback covered Narcotics Anonymous literature to those jails? Like, we might not have people down in Dumas, Arkansas, down south where there's no meetings, right? Or way up outside of Jonesboro where there's no meetings. Like, we have, if you look at the state of Arkansas, there's a lot of rural areas that don't have meetings. So we have addicts in those areas who are dying, right? How can we reach those people? That's our future. Because without newcomers, this fellowship dies. And we take our information with us.
I remember when Van Buren didn't have any meetings.
Yeah, Van Buren didn't have any meetings. That was 20 plus years ago. So, yeah, and meetings don't have to start with a resentment and a coffee pot, right? You know that, right? Like, we've grown. We've matured. We're so much better than that. But I really want to say the future of Narcotics Anonymous needs young people with new ideas. Bring your new ideas. If you're real tech savvy and you think you have a great idea on how to use technology to reach addicts, that's where the young people are. They're on their phones. And Mark brought up the phone thing. I'm not going to say nothing about phones and meetings. I have the literature on my meetings. I'm going to have my phone on. I have the basic text, the step working guide, it works out wide, living clean, I have it all. So my phone is on in a meeting. And if you think I'm chatting or something, I'm not. I really have my literature on my phone. How many of you have literature on your phone? Yeah, look at that. And it's only going to get more, right? Look, we've gone from cassette tapes. Some of y'all probably don't even know what cassette tapes are, and we still talk about buying them. Oh, we gotta buy a speaker tape, right? We ain't seen speaker tapes in years. I don't even know how long. Then we had speaker CDs. Yeah? My car doesn't even have a CD player on it anymore. Neither does my laptop, which I find really weird. It does. Is it old? Oh, yeah, now we have USBs. So we went from cassette tapes to CDs to MP4s or MP3s and USBs. Or you can just buy the digital file and get it emailed to you. Right? And I'm going to tell you, technology Mark talked about, I'm going to tell you, for the last 2 years, I have done mostly Zoom meetings because I have three different diseases that compromise my immune system. Through the pandemic, I stayed home. I went to work, I stayed home. So Zoom became my friend. And I met some great people. Like, I have a really good friend that I've never met in person. She lives in Washington State. We talk on a regular basis. I met her in a meeting in the Philippine Islands. There's a group in the Philippine Islands that meets virtually called Where the East Meets the West. It's the friendliest meeting I have ever been to because when you log on, they yell your name like you're in Cheers. Ah, woo! You know? I was like, man, this meeting is amazing because you feel important. They see you log on, they yell your name. Wow. I did a meeting 2 weeks ago in Ukraine. I didn't understand a word that they were saying, but just being present was mind-blowing. Right? It was mind-blowing. Ukraine Fellowship is still meeting. You can't keep an addict down. We ain't scared no war. We've been to war. We know what that's like, right? So, Zoom can be a great thing. Like, I spoke in a convention in Canada last year, 2020, I can't remember. I spoke in a convention in Ohio. I wasn't physically present, but I was their speaker. I've spoken in meetings all over the world in the past 2 years. It is amazing. I went to a meeting in Ireland on Zoom, and it was called the noon meeting, but home it was something like 7 o'clock at night. It was a really cool meeting, and they made you keep your camera off because it was a completely anonymous program. They said, it's anonymous, keep your camera off. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Yeah. So your anonymity is safe here. And Ted, no, I mean, we've done service meetings virtually, right? How many of you use Zoom in a service meeting? Conventions and areas and regions. I think it's a good thing. And I'm going to tell you, as an addict, I hate change. Anybody relate to that? Change freaks me out. Makes my anxiety go crazy. I don't like it. Being a member of Straightforward for many years, we moved a lot, and I was always getting mad. I didn't want us to leave the big house. That's my home, by God. We're not leaving the big house. And then I pouted when we left the big house because they tore it down. Like, we couldn't stay there. And then we moved somewhere else, and that was temporary. And then we found a house that was looked like a crack house, and we called it the Little Big House. And now that's a bank, and then we moved into another old, Straightforward has moved everywhere, but you know what? It's still a meeting. And it's the oldest meeting in Fort Smith, Arkansas. So it's great. And here's some other things that have changed in the fellowship. So I talked about the mental health IP, and we've got an IP called Social Media and Narcotics Anonymous. And then we've had some issues with violent behavior and aggression in meetings. And so now we have a bulletin for that that tells us how to deal with difficult people. Because if you have a drug problem and brain damage, you come in here with some mental health issues, I'm gonna tell you, be kind. You don't know who that person is. They're liable to pull a gun and shoot you. And there's been some stuff like that go on in Arkansas and probably all over the world. You know, people just snap for no reason. Something snaps in the brain, so treat people with kindness. I remember when drug court in Sebastian County started. Man, it knocked this fellowship in Fort Smith, Arkansas in the dirt. We were freaking out. We don't know how to deal with these people. And all of a sudden we had all these drug court people coming to meetings and nobody wants to sign papers and I'm not putting my name and number on that paper, you know. And so there was a whole lot of resistance to change. And here we are probably, 20 years later? We love drug court. We applaud drug court. And we like it when you complete and stay around and get involved. Like, we love drug court, right? We got a lot of newcomers coming from drug court. So now all of a sudden we're embracing them. And then after drug court, we get medication-assisted treatment. Well, how do we deal with those people? They ain't clean. You can't come in here on Suboxone. You ain't clean. Well, guess what? That person's not coming back here at all. Because you just ran them out of the rooms. Right? Like, why can't we just love them where they're at? That's what I was taught early in recovery. Let's love them where they're at. I mean, there's a kind way to tell people something. And look, I got clean in the 90s when people, you walk in the room, some people said, sit down, shut up, and if you got 30 days or less, you ain't got shit to share but the disease, keep your mouth shut. And you don't get up and leave from the beginning of the meeting to the end, because if you can't go an hour without a cigarette, you got a problem. That's what I was taught. My sponsor told me, you do not share the first 30 days you got clean. You ain't got nothing but disease. And I still can't believe that. but I'm not going to tell it in that form. I'm going to pull somebody to the side and say, hey, you know, maybe you ought to listen a little more, right? And I think that sponsorship is changing. I sponsor people long distance. I sponsor people in other countries. And we will probably never meet face to face. We do step work via FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, however we make it work, right? But how awesome is it if I can sponsor somebody in Amsterdam? Right? Sponsored a girl for a little while some years back in Peru. And she finally moved somewhere where she could get a local sponsor. So, sponsorship really has no boundaries. We don't have to meet in person. I mean, that's great in an ideal world. But there are people in other countries and other areas that it's an hour or 2 or 3 hours to a meeting, and they don't have access to in-person sponsorship. I've sponsored a lot, probably I can't count on two hands how many women I've sponsored over the last 2 or 3 years that were long distance. And we just made technology work for us. So it's the trend, or the, you know, it's the way we are. 10? Okay. I got 10 minutes. When I get anxious, I talk a lot. It's not that I like to talk, it's that I'm really, really nervous. So I talk a lot. But speaking, look, I really said all week long, I said nobody comes to a workshop on Friday at 6. Everybody goes to dinner. What, are we going to have 6 people? And who wants to come to a workshop on the future of Narcotics Anonymous? Like, what, are you going to talk about World Service and stuff? And then I look around the room and I was like, what the hell? Who are these people and where did they come from? Some of you people are my friends, so maybe you feel obligated. I would not have taken it personally if you had gone to dinner. Trust me. I'd have been okay. And here's another sign of the times. Some of you know I worked at an adolescent treatment center for a really long time. And the requirement was they had to go to some meetings every week and they had to get a sponsor. And so we would send them to Straightforward or whatever the meeting are in Fort Smith, and they would struggle to fit in with this old fuckers. And some of us weren't very nice to them. You know, I've spilled more meth out of my spoon than you've taken in your life. You know, I've spilled more beer in my shirt than you've drank in your whole 15 years. And we've offended them. We really shouldn't. Look, I got a kid that he'd been drinking and taking pills since he was 9 years old. How does that happen? Well, I don't know, but I can tell you what you're going to do about it. But there was a kid that he got a sponsor. And he got a sponsor from, it was a guy that was a member of Grateful Heads. And I would meet with this kid on a regular basis, and I would say, how's it going with your sponsor? And this is what he says. It's great, he calls me every day. I said, what? Why is he calling you? He's what? I could not wrap my mind around it. Why is he calling you? So I called this guy. I said, are you calling your sponsee every day? He said, I sure am. I said, why would you do that? And he said, because I remember the 500-pound telephone and how terrified I was to call somebody that I didn't know. So I just thought I would make it a little easier. And I'm calling him every day for 30 days, and then it's his turn. That blew my mind. Because how many of us go, you call me if you want what I got? I'm guilty, right? If you want me to sponsor, you better call me. It really changed my perception of, man, if I got people coming into Narcotics Anonymous that have some mental health issues and they're anxious, maybe I should reach out to them and stop expecting them to come to me. Like, if you want what I have. Well, if you want what I have, let me share it with you. So, you know, there's some, I see it some on social media, those people that think that we should still tell people when they come to meetings to sit down and shut the fuck up. And I don't know that I believe that anymore. I think that we can be a kinder, gentler, more compassionate fellowship. I'm not saying don't be honest with people. I'm just saying we don't have to be rude. I remember my sponsor being rude. And I just don't think I have to be that. Maybe I needed that then. But, you know, I needed somebody that would say, okay, Diane, we're going over here. Okay, Diane, you got 60 days. It's time to go to H&I meeting. Okay, Diane, you got 90 days. It's time to chair a meeting. Okay, Diane, it's time to go over here to this area meeting. Okay, Diane, you're going over here. I needed that. But if I'm going to leave it at this. I'm a firm believer in service in Narcotics Anonymous. Get involved in your group. Chair a meeting. Do some PR work. Get involved in the activities. Get involved in the convention. Be of service. Then go to your area meeting and learn. That's where we learn how to get along with people when we disagree with them. Right? And trust me, I've gone toe-to-toe with some of the people in this room. And I tell you this, one of the great things about this area is we might be poking each other in the chest and having some words, but I'll tell you this, in another week or so, we'll be hugging it out. Maybe after we put a pie on each other's face. Todd. But I tell you, some of the people I have been into it with or disagreed with are some of my closest friends, right? Because we've survived conflict. And we've figured out how to navigate friendships and relationships and agree to disagree. All right. So please get involved. Go to your area service meetings. Go to the region. Our region is a bunch of old fuckers. And we need some new blood. Somebody's going to have to take over. We can't be there forever. All right? And we need young people with new ideas. And with that, I'm done. Thank you.